It is time to reconvene the meeting, so if the board members can come back up to the dais.
Now, Francisco, sometimes if something comes up that you have to do at home, then you can leave if something comes up.
Okay.
We talked about that.
We'll reconvene the item, the regular meeting, and now we're from items from the floor, public comment, and I believe we have one blue card. Ms. Kelly.
Good evening, Dr. Hinman. Good evening, board members, and good evening, school administrative staff. I want to speak upon a couple of things. The first thing, I know the school had a plan out there, campaign going on involving bullying, and same with the media on TV as well. So had in service, the parents getting involved with the bullying campaign and all, but one thing that I haven't seen and touched upon was the racism at all. I experienced that firsthand. I lost some sleep over it. I thought it was kind of directed towards me, something I can handle. But with the kids, they don't understand what actually is going on, and it actually was directed towards my daughter. And I didn't know what to do, not being in a situation before. So I went ahead and gathered up all her awards, her academics scores that she's taken, and also, too, her physical skills, and had proof of that. So I just wasn't going to be a concerned father saying, hey, she should be able to do this. No, I have proof behind this, showing that she should be where she should be and not being denied because of your personal beliefs. And the time that came for me to kind of start taking a path on what can I do to bring this to the forefront to see if this particular situation can be rectified, I came up to the school, I was prepared, and I said, well, let me stop and confront this person before I go ahead and take this path. I went up there, I pulled a race card, I spoke directly to him that you were a racist bigot, and this shouldn't take place. And the look on their face was kind of astounding because they didn't think I was going to stand up for my daughter, just brush it under the carpet, and be done with it. They changed with 180 degrees, and they allowed my daughter to go ahead and participate and go ahead. I've been monitoring and looking very closely to see if anything was going to go ahead and arise from this, but at this point right now, it has not. So everything's well, but I don't know if the school has any type of plan, action, monitoring, anything in place to kind of observe, because the staff at your school, you have veterans there that have been teaching 20, 30 years. You have new aides coming in. So you have a vast variety of age groups there that influence any kids. Racism is not something that you're born with. It's something that's taught. And one way or another, we don't know if it's the staff, it's the kids, it's out there. I know the bullying is a big topic. It's something that's out there right now, and everybody's pushing towards that. But it's something, as far as racism, I believe that it should be looked into. I don't know how to do it. A lot of you are professionals. You've dealt with it before. And it's something that can kind of be brought up within the schools to see if the staff is aware of it or if the staff's involved in it and can see if the kids are doing it. It can be something as simple as, well, I don't like you, you don't like me, but if you dig a little bit deeper, the racism factor may come into play, and hopefully we can eliminate this. I look at the West Covina School District as a stepping stone for my daughter to go ahead and reach her pinnacle in life and to be a happy journey. And if she just falls just a little bit short, I'm there for her to stand on my shoulders and reach that goal in her life right now. To switch reels real quick, I was at the back-to-school night over at Edgewood speaking with the, I think it's not science, but the technical department instructor over there, and he kept on emphasizing software. And being a former network engineer, I'm more on the hardware side. So I asked him, if you're teaching the kids about the software, what about the hardware? He says, we don't have any more hardware. I said, what do you mean? He said, I had a stockpile of obsolete computers, and I came back, and it's all gone. I said, what do you mean it's all gone? He said, well, they said they recycled them. I believe it was Eric Calderon and Colleen Hawkins took the computers and had them recycled. So there should be a paper trail on the recycled components, and did the proceeds go back to that department? No proceeds that I'm aware of and the department is aware of going back to that particular class to go ahead and help the kids learn. I have obsolete systems. I give them the MIA to tear down, put back together. I feel as though the recycled systems would have best served the kids to tear down, put back together as a learning experience versus recycling. Recycling a computer, you bring between $3 and $6 per unit. And I feel as though a recycled system sitting in the classroom will give years of experience to those kids to tear down, look at the components inside, and also to give them an opportunity if they don't want to go ahead and deal with the software, they can go with the hardware aspect of the system as well. Since the systems are gone, there are no proceeds to go ahead and replenish those again. We're just out of luck right now, and pretty much everything has been updated within the system, so they're far gone and lost right now. So we'd like to find out what happened to those systems, where did the proceeds go, whose pocket did the money go into, and is something going to go back to that particular department to go ahead and help the kids, just like back when they had the wood shop, the automotive shop. Somebody donated a vehicle to that automotive shop so the kids can go ahead and play with that vehicle for years to come versus scrapping it and getting $200, which doesn't go far at that particular time in life. Versus now, $5 or $6 would definitely not help any of the kids this year and years to come. And I do thank you for your time right now. And if you excuse us for the remainder of the meeting, thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time?
President Paulson, if I may, only because racism is such a charged issue, I'd like to address it just quickly.
Okay.
I want to share with the board that our goal is has been to set up a human relations task force at every one of our secondary schools, and we're beginning through video introduction into elementaries. Racism is folded into that. However, hearing Mr. Delahousse say, it is something that we would never and will never tolerate. It's something that we would always address head on. But that's a case-by-case scenario. I believe Mr. Delahousse is talking about is changing a culture. And that is what we're attempting to do. It is a process, and through this human relations task force, we're going to get there using Mr. O'Grady AMI, which Denise has brought forward. So absolutely, we're not aware of any specific events, but we're addressing all of human relations from racism to sexual orientation and so on and so forth, and we'll continue to do that.
Thank you for sharing. Once again, is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we are going to move on to the organizational part of our meeting. Is there anything anybody would like to take off of consent? Is there anything anyone would like to put on consent? And I believe there's only one item, so... Is there a motion to move the agenda and consent items with B7 being added and C1 being amended? Yes, C1 amended. Is there
a second?
Yes, excuse me. It was the agenda and consent items were moved as amended by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Michael Flowers, and that was to approve the consent items for the regular meeting of September 27th, 2016. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes 5-0. That moves us on to A3. Ms. Jimenez?
Yes. For BP4222, I want to say thank you to the staff, Dr. Henson. Thank you very much. That was good. The change, the simple change, mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And then I wanted to take a look at BP15121, grades evaluation of student achievement. It's 3Z like zebra. 3Z like zebra. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 paragraphs down. Currently it says, but not limited to tests, toward the middle. The student's grade is not limited to tests, projects, portfolios. I wanted to strike the and or class discussion, comma, and participation. I've noticed with my child's own grade, participation is written in there with every one of her teachers. And with math, there's no discussion, but they are asking for participation. So they want the students to raise their hand and answer a question or get up there and solve a problem. So I wanted to see if that was agreeable with my colleagues and the staff. So it would be projects, portfolios, comma, class discussion, comma, and participation as appropriate. That was my recommendation. Because like I said, it already is part of the grade. I mean, I go into school loop, and on each of their syllabuses, they're giving 5% for class participation, or in some cases 10. And discussion is different than participation. Like I said, think of a math class or a chemistry class. You're not having a Socratic session like in Ms. Pavry's class, where that would be discussion. So I wanted to see if my colleagues would be okay with that.
Is there agreement on that?
I'm fine with it as long as it's understood that we are not moving back into a, you did a grade for showing a good class.
Oh, yeah. No. I love this
list. That's not what participation means?
This was very well written, whoever put that together. I didn't see an ed code, so to whoever wrote that, that was well done. I just wanted to add that. The other thing that I wanted to suggest, on the very next paragraph, we struck the unexcused absence, but we left the title as unexcused absence. I believe it would be better served if we said excused absences, because what we're delineating is about excused absences. So changing the title to just simply excused absences. When a student misses an assignment or assessment due to an excused absence, he or she shall be given full credit. So I wanted to suggest that because the unexcused was struck. And then the next thing to ask was, should it even be a part of board policy? Are we leaving it up to individual teachers to decide how long to complete? Most of my daughter's teachers and her friend's teachers all say if you're absent one day, you have one day to make it up. And that's kind of pretty universal that I've been hearing. But again, it might be different in the elementary or the middle school. So I didn't know if we wanted to get that much into the woods, into the minutiae, you know, into the weeds, I should say.
I would hesitate to advise you to do that only because the Ed Code is so clear on giving teachers grading oversight. I agree with you, that is common place, but the minute you challenge their authority in grading is when discussions about who has authority over classroom grades start. We arguing back and forth. So I think leaving it, even though it's a little broad, it allows some flexibility, and we accept the norm as it is.
So since I just want to make sure that we support our teachers, because given that there's no time frame, you know, you probably would at one point get a parent or a student saying, well, your board policy says it doesn't have to be the next day. As long as we support our teachers. Yeah. So that
well, there will be some, right, wrong, or indifferent, who will say you have 24 hours, and there will be some you have until the following Friday.
Right.
And the two of them can fight that out about the equity in that, but we don't have the autonomy or authority to come in and oversight that. Unless it,
which is fine. I mean,
yeah.
We need to support our teachers.
No, agreed.
We have parents.
Agreed.
Pull out the board policy and say, well, my kid has all semester.
Right.
And there's nothing here. Okay, the other thing that I was...
It's me. We want to address this change. And I appreciate the change that was made when I came in for the board, because it did say unexcused in that sentence, and they took that out completely.
Okay.
Oh, so
okay.
I appreciate... So that's probably why this wasn't changed. is there agreement on taking the un out and called it excused absences? Okay. There's an agreement.
So then my next question, go ahead.
But the question becomes, what happens if it's an unexcused?
That was my next question. So do we then have a policy about unexcused, which would then be the next section? What does Ed Code say? That was my question. What does Ed Code say about, or if Ed Code doesn't say anything, then what is our policy? So I didn't know if that would then be the next section.
Okay, I know you guys are wrestling back and forth there. I'll start with you, Mr.
For the bike, but it doesn't work.
Okay, Mr. Seaman, please. I know there is a differential.
The Ed Code speaks to truancies, and the Ed Code treats as unexcused absences, and that it is not necessary for makeup work on truancies. There is some discussion in the legal field of whether you would do that on a suspension or anything like that, because that's treated as unexcused absence too. The student's truant, you don't necessarily have to provide makeup work. It's a little different than unexcused absence, but that's where the Ed Code addresses it.
Okay, so then should we quote the Ed Code?
So, because I'm confused, and I think this needs to be really clear, President Polis, I am going to recommend that we pull this item and let staff do a little work on it and bring it back.
I have one other suggestion. On the same one.
Okay.
Okay. And that is, as you read it from top, it flows, and then you go to the second page, and it flows, but the breakup is the excused absences, unexcused part. So if we can just move that to the end, then it'll flow in terms of how it reads. Mm-hmm. So that was my other last suggestion with that. And if we go to the second page, second to the last paragraph, that paragraph is already stated on the first page in the second paragraph, which is a good place for it. I think it should stay there. So I didn't know if there was a reason why we mentioned it again. I mean, we really want to reinforce that the superintendent cannot change grades.
Right.
So I just wanted to bring that to attention as well. I didn't know if there was a reason why. So, yes, we can pull it, absolutely.
Can you
be remuscled?
Good catch. Sorry,
is there any more discussion on the board policies?
No, but I do think this particular one, you guys do need to look at the Ed Code, because it says a reasonable amount of time to complete, and so I think we need to look at the language and put it more in line with what the actual Ed Code says. Even says the teacher of the class from which a pupil is absent shall determine which test and assignments shall be reasonably equivalent to, but not necessarily identical to, the test and assignments that the pupil missed during the absence. So there's some nuance here that may.
In a perfect world, and a goal of ours in a professional learning community is that we would sit down as colleagues, teachers at a school site, and they would all agree on a standard practice, not a policy, but a practice. Then we take so much of that inertia out of the discussion. I don't believe we're quite there yet, but we're getting there.
I forgot that we have a student here still, and we both talked about wanting to hear student feedback, and this is directly affecting to add?
Well, I really think that, well, since I'm already a high school senior, and my teachers have their policies, and of course the district has the district policies. And our teachers, most of my teachers give us like one day, you're absent one day, you gotta redo it the next day. And then some teachers give us a week, others give us a reasonable amount of time. So, of course, a teacher is different than what the board or the district would say. So I really don't know how to add to the conversation.
But we definitely want to rectify that, because we want to have a policy that everyone understands, and if for some reason that isn't articulated to the teachers, we want to make sure that happens.
Right. Yeah, Board Member Gutierrez, you actually just summed up our entire conversation in one sentence, so.
I don't have a change. I just wanted to make a public comment about BPAR 6142.1, Sexual Health and HIV AIDS Prevention Instruction. I'm not making any changes. In the past, we had an opt-in, and I did get an email from a parent who was concerned about now it's opt-out, and he wanted to make sure that all parents were aware of what was happening, and he was concerned about the change of people now having only to sign if they don't want to be part of the training. Dr. Hinman explained that this is written to us in educational law, and we cannot have an opt-in policy. It has to be opt-out. And since there was one person who emailed me with the concern, I just wanted to say it publicly, because other individuals may want to know why that policy changed. And so now, if anyone has any concerns, they should probably go to their school site principal and find out exactly what's coming up. And it's quite extensive. It's going to tell you everything that's coming up. It's also going to tell you if there's outside presenters. And if that isn't in the original one, they're going to, I think it was 12 or 14 days, that they're going to tell you ahead of time who's going to be presenting to your child. So that's all wonderful information that we're sharing with parents, although it does have to be an opt-out form now. Any further discussion? Okay, so is there a motion to move as presented except for BP 5121? We're going to table that. Board policies for first and second reading was moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Daniel Manaris to accept for first reading and second reading, except for BP 5121. We are tabling that item to a further date, and to adopt the board policies and administrative regulations as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. That brings us to the end of our meeting. Is there any further board discussion?
I just wanted to make it clear to the audience that when I was up here on my phone, I'm not texting. I have the California law bookmark on my phone because I have to look at it every day for my day job. And so when a question comes up about something in the ed code, I generally just look it up really quickly.
We appreciate that. Thank you. Further discussion?
I'm excited about the college fair tomorrow, and I know it's our second annual. I don't know if perhaps someone can clarify, maybe you know, but I'm told South Hills and Covina Valley doesn't do one.
That's my understanding.
So this is pretty darn good for us.
And
I want to thank Dr. Hinman for your robocalls, and hopefully there'll be another one tonight to remind everybody district-wide. So thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to seeing little tykes there, too, elementary and middle school. So I'm excited.
So as was just mentioned, September 28th is a district-wide college fair at 6 o'clock p.m. And then on September 29th, at Merced Elementary will be the candlelight vigilance for Gordon, and then the next the Board of Education meeting will be October 11th. I would like to adjourn this meeting in the memory of Gordon Pitzer, and we are adjourning at 8:07.